Thanks again, you two gentlemen, for driving out. Drive safe. We're all ready to go? All right, good morning. This is Commissioner Brian Culk. We're meeting for the administration portion of our meeting today. It's approximately 10:20. We have, the motion, I wanted to make sure that the refunds and cases with prepaid application fees, that's no longer on consent, correct? Okay. Absolutely. With that, I'd move passage of items on consent.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Discussion matters with the commission. I have the right updated number here. Hasn't that one been removed? We removed the Great River one, didn't we?
I'm sorry, Commissioner. I didn't have a chance to explain. I guess it was requested that I give at least a brief update on the matter.
Okay, fair enough.
So I apologize. I should have let you know.
All right. With that, we'll move the discussion to first item B1, Mr. Grumman.
Thank you, Chairman. I just want to just reiterate, I guess, for the record, you've had a chance to look at the filings within 12767. Both parties have requested to submit further briefs or memorandum for your consideration due simultaneously on November 30th. And then it's my opinion that I believe our next commission meeting is on December 12th, and then perhaps that will be a good opportunity to discuss this further. So if you have any questions for me.
I have a question, if I could, Mark, because in your explanation you said both parties, and I assume what you mean by both parties is Great River Energy and Otter Tail. And the reason I wanted this on for discussion is because I want to get clear in my mind what Otter Tail's interest is in it. And I'm being rhetorical to sort of tee up the question, because the request is a jurisdictional determination request. It's not a litigation of any type or a filing that, in my view, really involves another utility. Am I wrong about that?
Not at all, Commissioner. I think I'll use that as an opportunity. Of course, there was a request for a jurisdictional determination by Great River Energy, but we neither have statute nor rule for that. So essentially, from a procedural due process standpoint, hypothetically, we would not even have to respond. I mean, there's been no procedural due process rights gained by Great River Energy in doing so. That being said, of course, they requested essentially an opinion from us. Vice versa with Otter Tail Power, they're requesting to intervene in I believe the terminology is proceeding. But again, since it's not anything formal, there is no proceeding for them to intervene in. Commissioner, I guess I'll stop there. Does that answer all of your questions, or?
Well, that was sort of my technical question. Proceeding is the word I was probably struggling for. So my point being, so Great River Energy requested this jurisdictional determination. That's sort of between us and them. I'm not ignorant of the proximity of Otter Tail and in terms of service area, but I don't see where they would have any standing to be an intervener because there's no proceeding. Having said that, I've looked into this a fair bit. I've asked Alana, to sit in on at least one meeting, and we've been through this with other utilities, and there is some history with regard to all of this. And so I guess my question basically is, have you or Alana looked into it enough to know whether we should issue a jurisdictional determination or not? To me, it would seem that we don't have jurisdiction over an REC or a rural electric cooperative on its face. That's one issue. The second issue, given, previous questions similar, not in electricity, but in pipeline, natural gas pipeline service with the unilateral or bilateral relationships and contractual relationships, to me, if I was to just look at this on a surface, it would seem to me that it's sort of none of our business. As long as Great River wasn't putting itself out to the public generally, do they have a right or not? Again, realizing we're not making the determination today, but just thinking out loud and based on your early research, do they not have a right to offer electricity to a single potential business without our intervention?
And you certainly may be right, if I may.
Yeah, absolutely. Kevin, you know, it's funny you're bringing us up because Mark and I had a very similar discussion to this in his office earlier this week, and that's where, you know, it is an interesting scenario because if both companies would come back in with the service area agreement kind of thing and they were both happy with it, we could then make a decision on it. But it's almost like Great River Energy asked for our opinion on something that they could have just done and potentially. So it's an interesting to chart a course forward right now, so I appreciate your thoughts.
Well, yeah, and it is rhetorical at this point, and I am sort of thinking out loud, although I'm thinking with some, you know, some background. It's not like it's arbitrary in my mind, but that's sort of how I see it at this point. And the reason I bring it up this way is because I'm a little bit concerned about a proceeding breaking out or a negotiation breaking out that may not be necessary. Now, certainly if the two companies want to cut a deal, that's up to them. That too is none of my business. But I want to make sure there's a clear understanding that, at least from my perspective, I don't see that would necessarily be necessary, if you will. Realizing, of course, even a jurisdictional determination isn't law, but an attorney general's opinion would be. And the other thought, and this is really thinking out loud, but having sat in on a number of these meetings with companies that are looking at putting a fertilizer plant somewhere in North Dakota, I would be concerned about some sort of a territorial dispute becoming uncertainty that chases a $1 billion investment away as opposed to attracting one.
Commissioner
and
Fetch.
That's probably none of our business, but it is a concern of mine.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I, too, have had conversations with Mark about this. It sounds like, much like the others of you, I'm struggling with, you know, first of all, what are they asking of us? And secondly, you know, are we certain about, the status of Great River Energy here? Are we certain that they, you know, if we're certain they're not a public utility, well, that should end the matter. I don't know if we're certain of that. I think what, the approach that Mark has taken here, asking great, and I don't want to label them parties because that gives them some status. But asking for simultaneous filings and letting them both pose the question to us, I think, you know, gets them to flesh it out more fully so that we can see what's being asked here, and then if necessary, look at maybe it'll be very clear with what they submit, and maybe not, and maybe at that point then we'll have a better idea of should we seek an attorney general's opinion, where should we go from there with this. But if it were clear to Great River Energy, it seems to me they would not have submitted any question to us.
Well, that was that's what I thought too. If it was absolutely 100% clear, why would they be asking our opinion? So are you thinking too, Kevin, like Bonnie just said, that this may, what the timing of an attorney general's opinion might be? I mean, if it's something that we think wouldn't hurt, we could start that now, or we could, as Commissioner Fetch brought out, we could wait and see what the filings are.
I think there's always prudence in the approach that Commissioner Fetch is talking about, and the simultaneous filings. I have no objection to any of that. I guess the point of my inquiry is more to signal that while I would welcome that, it is not in any way with any bias toward the idea that Otter Tail has, frankly, anything to say about this.
Fair enough.
To put it real bluntly.
Right. I agree.
No, I agree with that 100%. So should we request an attorney general's opinion now or let ourselves look through the paperwork first?
Well, I'd ask Mark to answer that.
Again, because there's no procedural due process, there's no timelines So, and the last thing I'm going to do is answer a question with a question, but it's up to all of you. The one thing I will indicate, as I think all of you have realized, is that if we do ask for an AG opinion, it may be that the Attorney General would want, I guess, more information. So the simultaneous briefings, which isn't even at issue here, is probably appropriate. So,
That makes sense.
I'm sorry, Commissioner. The one thing I will indicate is that Commissioner Kerman instead is that if I issue a memorandum, of course, that has no legal effect. Of course, AG opinion in and of themselves do carry more precedence. So if it is where our stakeholder is requesting something from us to have essentially some type of value from them, because, again, that this isn't a formal hearing, an AG opinion would do so. So I guess I'll just offer that for your consideration. But really, the long story short, I'm requesting from you what you'd like me to do. I'll do whatever you want, of course.
Go ahead, Bonnie.
I just think it would be more efficient to get the November, it's not that far away, get the filings November 30th, take a look at those, and then if we feel it's a good move, then request an Attorney General's opinion. Because as you say, Mark, with what we're going to send to them, just a basic question, they're going to be looking for more information. Hopefully these filings may provide that, and it can be expedited beyond that. But at least it gives us that opportunity.
Okay, that sounds reasonable to me, Kevin. That work for you, too?
It makes sense to me. That's fine.
All right, fair enough. And your point that we need to make sure that this is between the Public Service Commission and Great River Energy right now and other folks, so we make sure you don't give them the standing that... fair enough. Okay.
If I may just ask one question. Would you like for me then to request from Esther to set this on for discussion on December 12th, or should we wait for the filings and then I can revisit with you at that point to see if you want to do
something
special?
I think put it on for discussion
meeting
right now.
Okay, for December 12th?
Yep, and
okay.
Maybe even think about if scheduling a work session on the 28th meeting.
Okay.
November 28th. I think that sounds reasonable.
A work session for November 28th? I would indicate, and I apologize if I didn't state this before, the parties were planning, or I keep saying parties, excuse me, Otter Tail Power and Great River Energy will be indicating their briefs on November 30th. So if we have a work session before, then maybe we want to do a work session there after November.
Right, but I mean, we'll just schedule something.
Oh, I see, scheduling. Okay.
November 20th or sometime in December
that's a good idea.
I apologize if I was being too literal.
Thank you. Schedule the 28th for sometime the week of December 4th, 8th, somewhere in there. But then we'll have a better feel for the time frames, and we can all of us can sit down and do our best guess. And then if we need to do something, we could potentially even vote on it December 12th or the last meeting of the year, December 21st, or push it to the AG. All right, fair enough. Next one, item B2, landowner request to meet with commissioners Mr. Fawn and Mr. Grumman.
Thank you.
We've received a request from Pansky, who lives near the Fort Ransom Park, and there's also this pump station.
Someone
Keystone
has
Pipeline
left the conference.
Near the
Eric Olson, Great River Energy.
Near the park, as well, and there have been complaints about the noise levels from the Fort Ransom pump station, and we've been forwarding these issues on to TransCanada, since 2011, like toward the end of 2011, and TransCanada has been working with the landowners and working on, mitigating the noise. However, they also indicate that they believe that their noise levels are below the commission's requirement in the order, or the commission adopted noise level that was proposed in the TransCanada proceeding, which is 55 decibels, and they've done at least one sound measurement study out there and have found that all their noise levels are below that. But they're working with the landowners. We recently received a report from TransCanada concerning their studies of the noise levels there. But I guess what I would indicate is that the request that we have from Mr. Pansky to meet with the commissioners has come in subsequent even to the work that TransCanada has done out there so far. And so the question is, would the commissioners like to meet with Mr. Penske?
Well, I guess my thought before I turn over to my colleagues is that our protocol, if someone has a concern, they work through the companies and we make a decision. But I think just to have someone meet with the commissioners, that doesn't seem to me we follow the protocol at all. They have a concern, the company has then given back their response. You could make a recommendation, but I guess my thoughts are I wouldn't want to start meeting with every person that has a concern until the right time. If they file a complaint, if there's something in the company's response that would indicate they're not doing what they're supposed to, staff would probably recommend for us to do something then too. That's my thought, I guess, Kevin and Bonnie.
Well, I guess the challenge I see with some of this is it seems like certainly the company's been responding and doing what they ought to be doing. At the same time, the result, whatever the response is, the result doesn't seem to be satisfactory.
Someone has left the conference.
Bruce Gerhardson.
And given that, I would worry, if there's a way to avoid, if there's a way to facilitate this in a manner that avoids a formal complaint, that's a noble goal, it would seem to me. So whether we invited the landowner to a future meeting and put him on admin for just a brief discussion, to me that might be okay. What I would want to avoid is again, similar to the last situation, is some sort of prejudice. But I do like the idea of facilitating an amenable conclusion. Perhaps, as I suggested when this was first brought to me, Mark and Pat could get a couple of pup tents and go hang out for about a month with a decibel meter and see how the sound is going. That might work. I don't know. But you know what I'm saying? I'm kind of with you, Brian. If we can do something to avoid a formal complaint, I think we ought to try to find that. Maybe it's something somewhere between meeting with the commission and a formal complaint. There might be some other solution.
Well, and that's what I could think back to. I see Jerry Lee in here. When we have our power line questions, I mean, there's concerns that Jerry tries to work back and forth with them, and if eventually Jerry doesn't feel to where it's going forward and move it to the commission level. But I think if there could be some discussion, maybe Pat or Mark talk to the individual, because the data, is there any data that we've received that suggests that the company is not in compliance with our order?
No.
To me, that's a big question right there. So, yeah. Bonnie?
It is. One of the challenges, you guys, and this happens pretty regularly, but it's that when all of the data that we utilize was provided by the company, there is an appearance, can be an appearance by the public that's somehow not neutral data. Even though we might trust the science of it and it's all provided, with, of course, great trepidation to anybody that would be lying, that's still not always convincing. And so it may be where the solution is that some sort of a third party or the commission itself goes out and gathers some data. The question, though, becomes the noise levels are different under different circumstances. So how do you measure every circumstance? Clear night, cloudy night, windy night, calm night, all of that sort of enters into that formula. So I'd like to find some way to get more information that would be more acceptable, I guess, to the landowner before we would either dismiss it or urge a formal complaint of some sort.
Let me ask staff, the noise levels that were measured, was that measured by the company or was that measured by a third party? Do we know, do we have the information as to those measurements and who provided that?
It was by a third party. It had been somebody that had been hired by the company.
Hired by the company.
Yeah, so I'm guessing it's just guess that it's by the company, but
let's see. Do I have it with me?
And what were those results? I mean, was it like just a squeak under what was the minimal threshold or whatever? Or maximum threshold, whichever. Do we have that information? Do we know enough about it?
We do have the results of the study, but I don't have it with at the meeting here. But we can come around and visit about those results.
Well, you know, I guess from what Commissioner Kramer is saying, that thought, occurred to me, too. There's always the perception out there that all the information comes from the company. And, people out there being affected, there's always a level of trust, distrust that they, feel that, the company is doing this, but, is this something that can be trusted? And, I guess in visiting with Pat Fun, he also mentioned that there can be differences in that noise level depending upon what's going on with the climate. And, so maybe on a windy day, it's different than a completely calm day, or in the winter might be different than in the fall or summer. So how many of those measurements have been taken? Have they been taken over, a series of time with differing conditions? I don't know if we have enough information here. But the question, is, this landowner, and actually there's more than one landowner that have submitted emails on this. The question is, do we let them come in and open it up for what kind of almost like a public input hearing, or would we be better served at this point to have staff make contact and gather more information?
How does this sound as a recommendation for Kevin Abani, that we recommend to have Pat and Mark talk to him, and then basically do a good data review, look at the data that he has, look at the data the company has, and then basically make a recommendation to what we should do. And it could include having them come back in front of the commission. It could include paying for our own noise study to go out there. But basically the next step is to have Mark and Pat visit with him and kind of do a data reconciliation and then provide a recommendation whether it should be the commissioners to meet with them, whether we should do our own sample, or whether we should just move on.
I like that. And, and if there, I like the option of maybe having the commission do a noise study.
I concur, Brian. That's a good suggestion.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. So, go ahead, Kev.
I'm gonna get off now, you guys. So
all right,
you can handle the rest of it.
Okay.
Okay. Drive
all right.
Safely.
All right.
Thanks, Kevin.
You bet. Bye bye.
All right. So, Pat and Mark, if you could just figure out the best. I mean, like you said, Mark, if you want to stop by and talk to him or whatever you want, you guys figure it out. But let's do this. Let's put a time frame on ourselves. To when do you think is reasonable to come back to give us an update?
Someone has left the conference.
What, December?
This is Kevin.
You still there? He's just a follow-up.
We send somebody out. I mean, I'm actually in, we Thanksgiving right around that area anyway. I could probably just stop by and talk to him if you want me to do it. So if that's an option, then I suppose I think the next commission meeting after that would be December 12th. So
I'm okay with that. Make it a travel. I mean, consider your travel like you normally would. You can run it through commission business.
Okay.
Absolutely.
And then, good. But does he have data? He has data, right?
Sure.
So if you two could kind of look through and give us your best recommendation, because Kevin's point and Bonnie's was good. We don't want to dismiss this, but by the same token, I don't want to open up Pandora's box too far unless there's good reason to do so.
We can make sure he has the information that we have, too.
Yep. Because there's some of the challenge, too. There's no recommend. I mean, we have our order, but there's not a hard and fast EPA number on noise. Okay.
We have the order.
The order is
the order document. Accepted their testimony, I guess, on the noise levels.
And then I'm going to follow up with the company, too, on what you're doing.
Okay,
next one we have B3, Weights and Measures Vacancy. Mr. Fawn.
Well, of course, as you know, we have a vacancy in the Weights and Measures Inspectors Program. And the question here is there any, do you want us to go ahead and advertise for that, fill that vacancy at this point?
Well, let's, Monty, do you have a thought?
Yes, I do.
All right.
I've talked with Pat and Shelley about, you know, what they feel we should do, and I've given some consideration to that, and the long and short of it is I believe we should fill the vacancy. I know it's, the one consideration is that during, legislative session, one of the things that we have always sort of traditionally done apparently is to offer up cuts from that program. We recently, we recently had the problem with the person who we just let go from the position, not getting to a farm or not getting to weigh a large scale to certify that before a big sale. And the person became extremely upset, extremely angry when she found out that our person wasn't going to be there, and after, having been promised or on the schedule and counted on him having been there. I did end up talking to this person, and after we got it resolved by sending out our other inspector. And she was very grateful that we'd resolved it, and she did bring up, I really count on this, and this is a great service because otherwise it would cost me four times as much, so the question gets down to, and there is some consideration, well, should we just not do this anymore, send out notices and letters to people that the operators are responsible to get the scales certified, and they would just need to then go to private services and not do that anymore. Well, we still have, however, an inspector in the eastern half of the state. So what happens there? Are we going to cut the whole program? Or if we continue continue with that, then we have two choices. Either we have service to the eastern half of the state that the western half won't get, or we spread that one person out over the whole state, and that's just really not feasible, especially given what's coming up and how many are sort of over the limit, as it were. Unfortunately, I left those statistics on my desk because I thought we were going to have a break. Pat, do you recall how many are over the 15 months? So those people are really not even in compliance at this point then. We need to get out there and, so.
Well, if I could just interject a thought.
What do we do?
Let me step back a little bit. Is that one thing that I'd like to do, that no matter how we decide this, is get a letter back out to everybody that has a scale of any type and reinforce to them it is their responsibility to make sure they stay in compliance. It is not our responsibility. I mean, if something changes, and if our guys were supposed to be there at some point in time, and because of staffing, someone retires, someone moves on, it's still their job to be in compliance. Because I don't like when they come back that because we've had staff changes that somehow it's our fault that they're not in compliance. I understand there's an expectation, but I just what I struggle with in this whole program is that, and I was exactly where you were at 4 years ago, because you come in and it just seems like it's something we should do. But then the legislative intent to this program, they don't give us enough to do what we're supposed to do. And so we find ourselves limping along to try to keep up, understaffed all the way through, that we're soon to the point where I think it might not be that the West has something the East doesn't, or the way around, East has something the West doesn't have. It may be we end up removing an employee so then nobody would have anything, and we'd be completely a regulatory review program. So that's the challenge, I think. If we hire someone, we could be letting two people go in May instead of letting one person go in May. To me, that's more of the discussion. And so I'm not against going forward with the hiring announcement, but before we actually hire anybody, I'd like to get a better feel for where we're. And maybe we should have I'm not against having a work session on this and just making the arguments, because I've swung quite a ways on this one since the first time. Just that even if we have all four people, we still can't keep up out there. That's what I've gleaned, is that the four we had with Phyllis and JP and Ted, I just drew a blank on all their names, but the four that we had, they were solid. They pretty much could keep up. But once we lost two of those, one for retirement, one because of a bad deal, we've never been able to catch up. And so it's unlikely to me that we'll hire people with that skill set for what we're paying. So we're always going to be finding ourselves in this scenario.
Okay. I think maybe a work session to discuss and hash it out and, you know, and really brainstorm where we even want to go on this would be in order, because there are pros and cons, and, you know, we're just heading into the session and, and we're not asking for additional positions. So, you know, the workload out there is pretty big for these people, and they're on the road so much. And it just isn't feasible for one person to cover the whole state to do it, because they'd be spending too much time on the road.
It's not our responsibility to do that. But we've let them believe it's our responsibility, because we used to do everything.
Yeah. Well, I don't know that they, like this lady I talked to, believed it was our responsibility to be out there per se, other than the commitment was made that he would be there, you know, and it left her in the lurch at the last moment. That really was really bad there. So, yeah, you know, whichever way we go, I think, yes, we have to put some thought into pre-planning here. I don't like the idea of, okay, if we're going to scrap it in May, that we should be out hiring someone.
See, that's the
point. I don't know that we could get someone in and, you know, hired and trained to do much for a couple of months anyway, if we were going to do that.
How about this? I don't think it takes too long to get the announcement out there, does it?
No, it shouldn't.
So why don't we put the announcement out there? And let's drop this down to scheduling, get the announcement going, see what kind of pool we develop. And if we find some ace number ones and we decide to hire him or her, then we do. But in the meantime, we'll have the discussion of, you know, what are we really going to do with these? If we don't end up being successful with the pipeline safety position and the public utilities position, I don't see that we'll have an agency option other than to reclassify those two positions. I mean, that's kind of the whole backdrop to this whole discussion.
Which two positions for pipeline safety? Reclassify the weights and measures and use them for that?
Absolutely. And see, that's where the... How many inspectors did we have way back when?
Four.
For weights and measures.
Weights and measures? Even before I was in... But there were probably six, maybe, seven.
See, then, and there was a whittling down over time of these, because of the availability of the private function to be there. So how about that? Let's, Pat, if you want to go ahead and get the announcement and get it out there, that's fine. But can we then, let's Esther, can we drop the weights and measures discussion down to discussion? That sound fair, Bonnie? And then we can have this vetted out.
Yeah, just one more thing, though, about if we're going to put an announcement out there and if it's uncertain about, you know, a permanency, Do we need to upfront say, you know, this may be subject to, or I don't know, somehow let people know that it may not be a lengthy or permanent position? Can we hire a temp? Pat,
we could ask if there's anybody available for this kind of work, but I wouldn't want to go through the training process for, you know, just a short time temp either.
Yeah. Is there a downside to sending a letter out to everybody, reminding them that it's their responsibility to stay in compliance?
No. I think that should be done.
So who does that letter? Do you do that, Pat, or does...
It's automated in our computer system. So you would...
No, I mean, just like another letter reminding... Okay, I'm sorry, I interrupted. You said it's automated, but...
Right. You know, all we have to do is tell the computer how many, you know, which letters we want to send out. Do we want to send out letters to those that are overdue by 15 months, 24 months, 12 months? You just indicate that. The computer generates the letters to the individuals who have those devices. And the letter says, you know, you are responsible for for getting your scales or devices tested.
But I wonder if they're used to seeing that, if it's almost worth it. How many letters would we have to mail out if we mailed everyone a newer letter that's just from the commission saying that, you know, undergoing changes, the potentially this becomes a completely regulatory review program, send out something like that. Just like we did reminding folks about some of the telecommunications stuff.
A reminder letter to all operators of weighing and measuring devices. I don't know how many operators there are. I know there are like some 20,000 devices.
Yeah. Let's hold off on that. All right. So can we move forward, Bonnie, with the announcement?
Can.
And I think
we
decide in a work session what we'll do. We won't hire anyone unless they know what the expectations
are. Okay. That's good.
Okay. All right. Approval of refunds in cases of Mr. Fawn. Pat Fawn's show today.
Yeah. Okay, the question, you know, in the past, the commission has, what we do when we are going to issue a refund in a case that has an application fee in there and we're done with the process, there are dollars left over, we make a refund. In the past, we have always had a motion on the commission agenda to issue the refund after we've determined the amount. Does the commission want to continue doing it with that, using that process, or... would the commission approve staff issuing the refunds and saving some time, you know, preparing for the commission agenda?
Well, my thought is just keep it the way it is, because I like to know before we give back any money to companies, especially given the backdrop of what we found ourselves in recently. I don't mind reviewing the stuff. That's my thoughts.
I'll defer to your okay. judgment there.
So, but if I mean, I think let's just wait and see how this all plays out. If our goal, where we're going to now, is we don't refund any money until the case is completely closed, having that for us to be aware of that, it's a good tracking mechanism. I don't see a problem. It doesn't matter to me to do that.
Okay.
So, okay.
Yeah, we'll do. We'll keep continuing.
All right, fair enough. Okay, moving into scheduling. Work session, Geronimo Wynn. Mr. Lean. When are you ready to do this, Jerry? Today at 2?
Proposed orders, briefs, or something like that from the parties on the 4th of December.
Okay.
So if we could go after that.
Esther, do you have Kevin's schedule?
No, I do not.
Okay. All right, and we'll just work around it. So you said you have orders the 4th. When would you want to do it, Jerry? That week, later in that week, or the next?
That week. Maybe. What is the 4th? Is that a...
It's a Tuesday.
Tuesday. Yeah, later that week or early the next week.
Well, what about December 6th, Commissioner?
Works for me.
Works for me.
Thursday.
Thursday, December 6th. Any 10 o'clock?
Sure. Esther, how long is the tax department in the room on the 6th? It says tax department hearing.
They've been notified that if anything comes up, okay, they have to find elsewhere.
Okay.
What time are they? Are they all day? Or?
I think it's 9 to 10.
It says 9 to 10 and 1:30 to 2:30, and I okay. That seemed odd, but if those are the only time.
It's two different times.
Okay. 10 o'clock then.
Well, you know what? We can do ours at 10:30.
10:30 would
do ours at 10:30. That way they can still do their thing.
Oh,
okay. All right. Thanks, Scott. So let's go with 10 o'clock then. All right. Formal hearing, telecom. Alana.
Well, that one is a minimum of 45 days. But, Pat, what I wondered from – I didn't know if you were planning on publishing that for any reason. The notice in the Pacific Telecom. I know we don't in complaints, but – so I would go out at least 45 days from, say, Monday. We'll give Kara, if she doesn't get the notice out today, I mean Tuesday, the next working day, and then at least 45 days out.
So we're into mid-January, huh?
Yeah.
Well, not the week of January 7th. So that could be a... That's actually a better time to do it than trying to do it in late December. And that'll be right here, won't it?
Right.
January 17th? Does that work for everyone?
It's okay on this calendar.
Chris, that work for you? All right. 10 o'clock again? Or should we just start at 9? Maybe start at 9 for that hearing. All righty. Now, Mr. Diller, ADP for Prairie Island, I read your documentation.
I put it on here for a couple of reasons, I guess. One is make sure the commission wants to have a hearing of any kind, really. Staff's position is basically in agreement with NSP's proposal to extend the life of Prairie Island Unit 2. You know, if you've read my memo, you know the cost differences are pretty significant between extending a nuclear plant and the next lease cost option. If the commission wants to have a formal hearing, informal hearing, or none at all, I think that's, you know.
Do we have any notice requirements in any of this, or those have all been met now?
They've all been met, yeah.
So we could theoretically do an informal and vote the next meeting on that. It's Commissioner Fetch, it's your portfolio, I think, isn't it, on that one? For me personally, I definitely don't need a formal hearing. I'm indifferent to an informal if you'd want to have an informal. But I could even put that to vote for me, quite honestly.
Let's just schedule it and
schedule
go for
the informal it. Or the vote?
The vote. Just
okay. Well, I would say put that on for the next agenda then.
Okay. Very good. Thank you.
And when is the next one? November what?
Should be 28th, I think.
Right, November 28th.
Okay.
What's the informal hearing at 1:30 on the 28th?
I think it's on, gosh, I can't remember.
Doesn't say on here, it's
well,
just on.
We're going to be scheduled.
It's always on the calendar, and I don't know.
Oh, okay.
There is,
scheduled.
There is a specific item for that. Day will be the budget prepay request for ETC designation.
Okay. That's right, because we're going to do that today, but we move it next meeting.
Okay, so November 28th, that's good. Okay.
All right.
And then the work session, we're moving
you.
That down to schedule.
Yeah, geez,
scheduling.
Good catch. We should do that sooner than later. The 19th or the 20th? We have a hearing on the, no, ALJ. How about 10 o'clock on the 20th? Does that work for you?
Works for me.
All right, so 10 o'clock on the 20th.
So November 20th, 10 o'clock.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
And then who's going to that hearing? There's the ALJ hearing, Great River Energy. Can't read my stuff here. Does that involve you, Pat? Yeah.
November 20th, that's just, 11.
That's yours, Jerry, right? Okay.
That's a Devil's Lake.
Right. Mark, you going too? Okay, so would that one affect Pat can be here? So who do we need for that work session? We need Pat here, the commissioners. Shelley, would Shelley want to be in on that?
Shelley has, you know, a lot of, if you need information,
yep. We'll put together information. Well, and that's what I think, Lonnie, whatever you think, but for me, it'd be kind of get a better feel for just exactly where we're at. And then,
yeah,
because what we've known we've been slipping behind ever since JP and Fellas left. I mean, that's been on the trend line for a long time. And my thought has always been, well, we'll get to that. But I think that's kind of just give us where we're at and then maybe some recommendations about, A, if we hire these people, is that still enough staff to keep up with what we're supposed to do? Or if we switch to a complete regulatory model, how that would work? Because maybe if we switch to a complete regulatory model, maybe two isn't enough. I don't know. Have we ever done any analysis on that we could do it with two? Maybe we would need three.
We've done variations in that analysis almost every session because of that whole cycle of the fees aren't high enough. People like it because it's cheap, but the fees aren't high enough. Do we want to raise them?
Well, you bring out the point that Josh brought out, too, is that we also have back there, we just briefed that downstairs, and all heck broke loose in that hearing. There was clearly a divide in the Senate and the House on raising fees. Some said no, of course, and some were absolutely we should raise the fees. So I think once we'd raise the fees, then people become indifferent to who they went to do their weights and measures.
Yep.
So, but if you could, Pat, have that kind of stuff put together.
I would like to get that work session.
You would, huh? You're going to participate? Well, you know what? Actually, you need to be there, but put together your budget analysis of it based on the audit and what you think and some of the concerns it could have if we don't charge the fees, and all that'll be all part of actually leading into testimony, quite honestly. Okay. Well, anything else? No?
You know, you about raising the fees, and we'll flesh this all out, but, you know, yeah, I'd like to see some analysis on that because it seems like there's a huge discrepancy in terms of what people pay us and what people pay, you know, the private sector out there. And, you know, I mean, we could double the fee and still would only be about half of what they'd end up paying private contractors. So, yeah, I'd like to see, you know, some breakouts. Everybody's sort of grimacing, and some are nodding and smiling. I don't know what this all means, but I guess we'll figure it out.
No, you're exactly right. We do a large scale for an elevator scale for $170. They charge $600. You know, so it's this big elephant in the room that's been here for decades. So, okay. Anything else for the good of the order, Jerry? Do you have anything at all today? All right, Bonnie, one more.
Just to let you know, I'm leaving for Baltimore tomorrow to attend NARUC, and I will be gone through Wednesday, so I'll be back in the office next Thursday, the 15th. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. I'll close the administration portion of our meeting.